Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, coming to you from Nashville at Summer NAMM with the EnterTalk Radio Partnership on Facebook Live, and also with our Talking at Music Education podcast brought to you by the NAMM Foundation. Please let people know that we're live here at EnterTalk Radio and NAMM Foundation from Nashville with the conversations with some innovators, from musicians, music teachers, and talking about the what we believe in together, the value importance of music education and music making for all people. I'm delighted to have with my guest, Mike DeCesar, who is here from the Albany area in New York State here at Summer NAMM. First time at Summer NAMM?
First time at Summer NAMM.
Yep. Wow. First time at Summer NAMM. So welcome to Summer NAMM in Nashville, Music City, Nashville.
Thank you
Love
for having me.
To have you. Yeah. We're here to talk about a remarkable innovation that Mike has shepherding and managing and putting into the world.
Yep.
And we will get to talking about that together with looking at the device or the instrument, really, itself.
Yep.
But first of all, we always at Talking at Music Education want to hear about people's personal, we call it your origin story.
Okay.
Your music making, music education origin story. Do you play an instrument?
Yep.
When you played it in school? Tell us about
when
it all started for you.
Wow, I was young, really young, and I started playing the trumpet. My dad introduced me to playing the trumpet. You know, grade school, really. And it's something that I picked it up. And when I picked it up, I really couldn't put it down. It was...
And where was that?
I grew up in Scotia, New York.
All right.
So up, it's a little bit...
Up on the New York Thruway.
Yeah, exactly.
Albany. Yes.
Albany,
yeah.
Schenectady,
yep.
Troy. Yep.
Right. So you're it's still home for you.
It's still home for me. Yeah.
So you had a program available in your public schools.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We say this. I mean, me too. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's what we're fighting for.
I can remember lessons in fourth grade.
Right.
Where I would go for a half hour and it would just be private lessons basically for, for, you know, it was no cost or anything like that. But yeah, we had a really intensive music
program. It was considered a part of the well-rounded curriculum available
Absolutely.
To every child, which is, you know, the thing that NAMM is, NAMM and the NAMM Foundation are working on very hard for all children. So that you're a brass player.
Brass player.
And did that carry through high school?
Carried all the way through high school. That was kind of my identity.
Sure.
You know?
You were a band kid.
Yes, I was. No question. I remember going away to competitions and things like that.
Marching band, wind ensemble.
I did the marching band. I will be honest with you. Marching band was not my favorite.
Well, I think that's an honesty that can be shared by many. It's something we do for our school and community.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But I loved the jazz band. Mm-hmm. And that was my thing. So.
And were you a music major in college? Did you follow through?
I did. So I didn't major in music, but I played in band in college in some jazz bands and things like that. And I played in some big bands after I graduated from college.
Great.
But so it kind of stuck with me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But things got kind of sidetracked with the music and being a trumpet player. It's not a clear path to
right. I mean, it's just it's like, do you become a professional gigger and worry about, you know, driving 200 miles for 2 hours and not being able to pay for gas and
exactly
it's like the life of all musicians.
Yeah.
So it was really important part of your development from the very beginning.
Huge.
Right?
I mean, really almost my entire identity, you know, growing up. Because that's what I like to focus on.
And you had rigorous training, too.
Yes,
and it was high quality, rigorous training.
Mm-hmm.
Did there were certain teachers stand out that were really influential and significant for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I took a lot of private lessons throughout. But really, I think my high school band teacher really was a major factor in it because she made it fun. And I still have friends that I played in the high school band with that I still see. Like I went to a jazz festival last weekend with a friend of mine who's a drummer in those bands. So
once you play whatever it is, a Sousa March or Gustav Holst Suite or Nellie Bell or whatever it is, when you play that, it music that's challenging when you're growing, you kind of stick together.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
It's really,
yeah.
Which is again why at the NAMM Foundation and at NAMM, we're so committed to making sure every child has that opportunity. I said, because we had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had it. I had it in Wisconsin. I always say I grew up in the middle of nowhere, which I really did.
Okay.
But it was there for me. It was fourth grade lessons and ensembles. And
It's surprising to me to hear that kids don't have that opportunity, to be honest with you, because music is something that you can do regardless of how big or small you are, and it's not like it's a sport,
And it's there for life.
It's there. It's always there. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, what you have done in your in the time since you were learning music in school, when you talk, it said people of all abilities.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You have gone on to create a patented.
Yes,
patented musical instrument called the Jambox.
Yes.
Why don't you show, it's an outgrowth of the harmonica.
Exactly. Can you guys see it? Okay, great. And this is the Jambox. I'm holding it in my hand, but we had initially designed this for my friend and next door neighbor who's a quadriplegic from a skiing accident. So he didn't have the use of his hands or the dexterity to play a keyboard or anything like that. But what he could do is play a harmonica. And, like you mentioned, an offshoot of a harmonica, we decided to make a MIDI controller that was hands-free that you didn't have to have that use of your hands.
So this can be mounted on a stand.
Mounted on a stand and a bracket, and you can just play.
And then I'm seeing as you move this, that this moves here.
Yes.
So, in other words, instead of the instrument moving, the person who's playing it
is just moving.
Moving. Somehow this moves. It's very, very light and beautifully calibrated.
Yep.
And then this all connects with, where is the USB?
There's a little micro USB
port. It's just like when I plug in my bike light to get recharged.
Sure.
It looks like that. And
your iPhone. Yep.
And that goes right into an iPad, an iPhone.
Any or computer, mobile device, tablet.
And then this is for, this can connect to a speaker system?
External switch.
I see.
So basically, it could be a foot pedal. So we have people that use it as a foot pedal. We also have...
So they can do all reverb and all sorts of
All kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, boy.
And but also, if you're disabled and you want to cycle through presets or you want to hit a button to make this do anything, because it's a MIDI device, it really can do anything that you can do with MIDI, you would just, hit the external button that you can mount anywhere.
So let's go back to what we know when we practice an instrument, things take time.
Yes.
Right? How long did this take you to come to this version of the
device? This was a very long time. This is our fifth generation. So when we started out, it was really just a piece of metal with some off-the-shelf parts that we had
put
together.
You must have that on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, we do. We have our old versions.
Right. Yep.
And we did whatever we could to manufacture it ourselves, and we made a bunch of them and sold them to people really all over the world, because for disabled individuals there's not a ton of options when it comes to musical instruments,
especially a quadriplegic.
We
know that there's some really solid adaptive technologies that they're key extensions,
sure,
and the one-handed piano. There's even been pieces written for left hand only or major pieces, but this level of adaption is pure innovation.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So this is our fifth generation of the product, and we had a lot of technological challenges to overcome throughout the way.
Yeah.
We actually have our own.
What's the human interface, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. And the electronics in here are actually we had to make from scratch. The sensor, the linear sensor that is in here, we actually patented as well and made. So it just was a very big lift, but we've had a lot of support along the way.
You said you were a music minor in college. Yep. Were you an engineer?
Or
were
I wasn't.
Where did this tinkering come from?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I get asked that question all the time. I'm not an engineer by any means. I was a business major.
So you understood that you could take an idea and
yes.
you could scaffold and what it took to maybe
yes.
prototype, market, patent. So you had that.
I had all that background and the music background. So when I started working with Dave Whalen, who I invented this with, it was just a natural. I mean, I really just got sucked into it.
You could see the possibility and it just needed structure and a direction and a plan. And,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And here you are.
Yeah.
How many patents are in that?
In this, there's probably three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Which is a challenge in its own right.
Yeah.
Secure patent. Are they design patents or
yes.
they are design patents?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And it's interesting, many times with a device like this, the
I don't know if they can still see it.
The underlying patents, I think if they can see your face, they can see the device.
Yep. There it is.
I think if the, with a device like this, the underlying patents become as... quote unquote valuable mm-hmm. as the device itself. I don't know if that's happening with you as well. Because the technology that you've actually invented.
Sure. So we do. We view this as a platform technology that allows you to really control all kinds of different things. One of the offshoots of what we've been doing is because with disabled individuals, they tend to have decreased respiratory function. Especially if you're in a wheelchair all day and you're not exercising, you're not moving around. This actually, we feel that this might be able to help with that. I mean, you're basically, you're playing, you're exercising your lungs.
It's more therapeutic.
So there's some aspects to it like that we're exploring.
So basically this fits in the mouth and it's an inhaler. You inhale and you blow both.
Exactly.
Like a harmonica.
Yes.
Totally harmonica technique.
And the great part about, like you mentioned, the curve to develop this. Part of the challenge was to make this as simple as possible for anybody that could use it. So take not only the hardware, but also the software. The digital audio workstation interfaces tend to be centered towards pro audio people. We had to simplify all of that because a lot of our customers in the beginning that we didn't really realize. I mean, for us to go through and to work on, an Ableton patch or something like that wasn't a big deal. But for the parent of a disabled child who's has no musical experience or is brand new to all of this, we had to make the software interface easy to control, easy to understand and configure. So that was another big challenge on the software front.
So it sounds like, it can be something that can be used for music learning for someone who's disabled, as well as your friend Dave, who was really, before he became a quadriplegic, he probably knew music.
Nope.
No?
No, so he was not a musician.
Brand new for him as
brand
well.
Brand new, yep.
So it's part of his kind of reentry into a whole life after, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So where is, how is Jambox being used now? I mean, how is it finding its utility and how is it inspiring people?
Sure. So we have there's two sides to our market, really. We have the musician who's looking to expand their, capabilities on stage or in the recording studio that use this. But there's also, obviously the disabled population. So that could be a whole range of people that are cognitively impaired or, physically impaired in all ranges of disability. So it's being used as a recreational tool for a lot of people, but it's also being used in the school music programs. So, we have had a lot of success with disabled children, either in a special needs setting in the special needs department or mainstreaming a disabled kid into the school band.
Right.
Which is what we're really excited about.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
And because that really gives, and we've got a lot of examples of that and how, you have kids that this is their instrument in the band now. And before this, there really was no option.
Right. So. How exciting. I have to learn more about that.
Okay.
I want to come and see that.
Sure.
Right?
You got to come up to our office. You're close.
I'm not far. It's just a little bit of a road trip.
Yeah.
So you've talked a little bit about the uses of technology. This wouldn't be possible without MIDI, right?
No, not at all.
And that great gift to the universe.
Yes, yes.
Right, of MIDI, open source MIDI access.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for MIDI.org.
Yeah.
Because we reached out to them last year. They invited us to the MIDI.org booth in Anaheim.
Right.
And that's how this has blossomed, and our relationship with them has really taken off since that. So.
Oh, that's terrific.
That was all Tom White.
We have great respect for him and what he's done with the MIDI community. But again, that decision that MIDI would be a platform that was really accessible to everyone.
Sure.
Right?
Would not be possible at all without MIDI. Right. No question.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. So what's next for Jambox?
So we are expanding, and we are very excited about it. We're making a major push for our product to be in the schools. And we're focusing on the special needs departments and also, you know, music teachers that want to, they might have a kid that could really benefit from this and play in the school band. And we're really making a push towards that. So that's where our focus is to really, we think that the Jambox could be in any school district, you know, because every school has a kid that could use this. And it's just a matter of letting the people responsible for getting that kid a musical instrument or whatever they would want as far as equipment to know about us.
And lowering the barrier of understanding of what you need to interface effectively with technology.
Exactly.
It sounds like you've worked really hard at that.
Very hard. Very hard.
And I think for the rank and file music teacher serving hundreds of kids,
they don't have
the
time.
They kind of go, I drop everything and understand how to use the software so I can bring these wonderful musically capable kids into the orbit, but you've really solved a lot of that.
We've taken care of
and that's big.
A lot of that.
And that's big. You know,
And another push that we're making too, which is just been fantastic, is this growing field of music therapy. Mm-hmm. This is used in all kinds of recreational settings, in hospitals, in any kind of day program for adults that have special needs, that type of thing. So we're witnessing the music therapy, you know, kind of it's booming. We've been going to some music therapy conferences. It's amazing how many people are going to school for music therapy and the effect that really has on people.
Yeah, I think we've realized the power, the power of music to heal, promote, inspire.
Yep.
Look what it did for your life.
Yes,
overall,
exactly.
Yep. Right. So it sounds like you're also building a bit of a community.
We are,
right?
Yeah.
Tell us about the community and how people can get connected.
Well, on our website, it's jambox2x.com. You know, we have a community section on our page and also our Facebook page is Jambox Music. But we're really bringing people together. We have people from all over the world that have the Jambox that are submitting videos and sharing and just sharing their experiences with the Jambox.
So you can view musical riffs of people, what they're playing, what they're sharing, what they're...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a sponsored artist program.
That's so
great. Artist on our website.
Like
so.
A real musical instrument.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, to lower the barrier of learning and participation is just terrific.
Yeah. And, you know, lowering the barrier too, one of the great things about this is, for me, how many years it took to finally sound good playing the trumpet. And you run into that with any musical instrument, really. I mean, you have to practice and practice and practice.
100,000 hours or 10,000 hours.
Exactly, right? With us, you know, when we click on if you want to play the trumpet or you want to play the violin or you want to play whatever, you are going to sound fantastic because it's the sample that's playing. Mm-hmm. So the learning curve really has gone away to sound good. And we can program this into any scale. So immediately you're going to have some form of success with it and not get frustrated.
So you can get to other things like being creative.
Yes.
And understanding the elements.
Yes.
And working on being able to manipulate the elements from what you're hearing in your head. And right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to go quicker to that, to the...
Yes.
Yes.
And
I
not worry about the technique as much.
Developing the strength of the embouchure.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Though that, you know, there's no secondary to that.
No.
And that's its own path.
That really is.
Worthwhile path.
Yes.
If one can be on that path and one wants to be on that path. But yeah, it's really terrific. So tell us again how to find you. Give us the website.
It's jambox.com.
With two X's.
With two X's. Yeah, I mean, that's
and
really
the Facebook page.
Facebook page.
Jambox Music.
you know, we just had, there's some great videos up on our Facebook page. We just had Dave Whalen, I mentioned a little bit before, he played the Jambox, he played the national anthem in front of a bunch of people at a minor league baseball team game in Troy. And we're trying to get him to go play in the major league some, you know,
all
sometime.
Right. So, all right, so if there's a marketing director of a major league ballpark somewhere, you have something really unique and very celebratory.
Yes.
To realize that another tool has been invented that can really expose the strength and power of music that's in all of us. Mm-hmm. And so congratulations.
All right, well, thank you very
much. Is this taking all of your time now?
Yes. Well, this company is, but we're focusing, you know, on a lot of the healthcare applications as well. So I'm full-time with the Jambox.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
This is your baby. Well, congratulations to have birthed an instrument into the world.
Thank you.
That has allowed people the opportunity that they maybe thought they would have, they lost forever.
Sure.
Or that they couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very powerful.
And you see a lot of the, what we're seeing too is really people that were musicians their entire life. Maybe they have MS or ALS or some they've been stricken with something. Where they can't play their instrument, you know? And we see that people are using this and it's really bringing back that ability. So that's a really big impact too.
That's great. So I've been so fortunate to be here with Mike DeCesar, who's invented a new way for people of any physical ability and even those who want to experiment with a new way of making music, this Jambox MIDI device. And we're so grateful, Mike, for joining us here at Summer NAMM. We hope to see you around the NAMM universe.
Oh, yeah, I'll be around.
A lot.
You
know,
and
that we can understand how this is changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again, a musical instrument helps to change the world, because we all do believe here at the NAMM Foundation and Talking at Music Education the value of and importance of making music for every person of all ages and abilities. So thank you for being with us for Talking at Music Education live from Summer NAMM in Nashville, Tennessee, and thank you for being part of it today. And thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.